Praise the Lord, everyone. You may be seated. I feel so honored this morning to be asked to be a part of this 50th anniversary here. And I feel honored to be asked to preach this morning. And I am especially honored to have relations here, and not only friends here, but have some of my children here, and I'm especially honored to have them. Jim, I'm glad you're here this morning. I look for you. And I have some grandchildren here. Harry, Kim, I'm glad you're here. Would you stand? Let that whole row right there stand. Grandchildren, come on. Carolyn, too. Sandra, come on. God bless your heart. Wait a minute. I want the two little ones to keep standing. These are great-grandchildren. I'm privileged to have them here this morning. Praise God. Praise God. And I thank God my wife's here. Praise the Lord. Bob and Jeff, I'm glad you came to the front seat. You don't even know how much these boys helped me preach many a time, sitting on the front pew. I was going to call you up, and you already got there. I could tell a lot of things that's happened in this church, but Brother Morton covered a lot of them last night. But I received a telephone call about 1 o'clock one morning, and it was nothing uncommon to get telephone calls 1, 2, and 3 o'clock in the morning. And in fact, you'd have to know my wife to know that you never got nothing on her. She always had an answer. Yeah. One morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, the telephone rang. And she answered the phone. And she said, "Hello?" They said, "Ma'am, your horse is in my garden. Would you take him out of my garden?" And my wife said, "Well, I tell you what, you just tie him up and I'll pick him up in the morning." She said, "Now don't you say," that was on a Saturday night. She said, "Now don't you say anything about this. Is Michelle still here? Jolynn, they're not here." She said, "Now don't you say anything about this." I said, "I'll find out who it is Sunday morning." And so Michelle and Jolynn and I don't know who else was. Crystal, was you in on that? You wasn't in on that. They couldn't stay away from her. And finally, I think she looked at Michelle and said, "Michelle, you still got my horse tied up?" So it wasn't anything unusual to receive calls after 12, 1 o'clock. "Paul, I remember the night you called me to come baptize you at 1 o'clock in the morning." He was afraid the Lord would come before another church night. Praise God. And Sylvia, I don't see her here this morning. But oh, I'd had a hard day one day. And along about 2 o'clock in the morning, her husband went to work at 12 o'clock. So she would set up for 12 o'clock till her husband go to work. And so she got so interested in the Bible. And she happened to be over in the book of Revelation. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, she rang my phone. And I answered the phone. And she said, "Oh, was you asleep?" 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, "Yeah, I really was." She said, "Well," she said, "I was just reading the scripture in Revelation. And I didn't know really what it meant. And I thought maybe you could tell me. I said, Sylvia, will you call me back later? Praise God. We had a lot of good times here. And these services brought back a lot of memories. And I'm so thankful for them. Brother Keyes, I thank you for this service, these services, and what you've meant to me. I'm glad to have the ministering brothers here this morning. I'm glad you came. Praise God. Now, Brother Morton said last night that he was a short preacher. And I used to be known as a short preacher. But somehow here lately, it worked different. So I don't know what time. I didn't set my watch. So I don't really have the time, and there are no clocks around. But I will do my best to not hold you any more than an hour and a half, 2 hours. Shall we stand this morning? There used to be a preacher that pastored the Manteca Church named C.H. Webb. And Sister Webb's sister back here can tell Sister Webb about this if she wishes. But about 15 years ago, Brother Webb came to me, I believe at a fellowship meeting or something, and said, Brother Dansby, I want to give you a text. He was always giving me text. You brother know it. And he said, I want to give you a text. And I said, okay, Brother Webb. And hey, you'd have to know that Brother Webb evangelized 27 successive years before he taken to church. And so he had a lot of text. He had a lot of good ones. He gave me a lot of good text. And so he gave me the text 15 years ago. About 15 years ago, that I'm going to preach from this morning. I never had preached from it. Till a few weeks ago, I was sitting in a congregation, and God began to burden my heart about a situation, and He brought this text to my mind. So with the help of the Lord this morning, I've never heard anybody preach from this text. Brother Webb preached from it, but I never heard Brother Webb preach from it. And I've never heard any of the other preachers. Maybe some of the rest of you have, but I haven't. But it was a very special occasion that God gave me this text. And I thank for some special people, but I feel led to preach from this text this morning. Found in the 46th chapter, the book of Ezekiel. The 9th verse. But when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast, he that enters in by the way of the north gate to worship. Now, did you notice? He come in to worship. This is not a bunch of sinners he's talking to. This is church people. This is God's people he's talking to. They come in to worship. Shall go out by the way of the south gate. And he that enters into the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate wherein he came in, but shall go over against it. Now, I'd like to turn you to Jeremiah, the 42nd chapter. The 19th verse. The Lord has said concerning thee, O ye remnant of Judah, Go ye not into Egypt. No, certainly, I have admonished you this day. I'd like to preach to you this morning, and this has been bothering me for some time. When I look at congregation and see people that I have known that serve God for many years, and then don't see them in here and know that they've gone by the wayside. So I'd like to preach to you this morning, go not back into Egypt.
Yes.
Praise God. Shall we all raise our hands and worship the Lord? Praise God. Everybody worship the Lord.
God, we praise you. God, we worship the Lord.
Everybody worship the Lord.
Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
All right, you may be seated this morning. Brother, I want you to turn to the 42nd chapter. Stay with me. Jeremiah. 900 years after the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt, these people in the 42nd chapter of Jeremiah went to Jeremiah with a request. Now remember, these people had walked with God. These people had ate manna from heaven as it rained down. These people had crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. These people knew what it was. They had seen all the miracles of God. Uh-huh. Amen. And these people knew what it was to walk with God. But now then, 900 years later, some of these people come to Jeremiah with one of the most silliest requests that I ever heard of. Amen. They wanted Jeremiah to pray for them, the second verse. 42nd chapter of Jeremiah, the second verse. Praise God. Listen to this now.
And said unto Jeremiah the prophet,
and they said unto Jeremiah the prophet,
let we beseech thee,
let me beseech thee,
our supplication be accepted before thee.
Okay, go ahead.
And pray us unto the Lord thy God.
Did you hear this now?
Even
now,
for
pray
all,
us to the Lord thy God. Amen. They knew who he's going to pray for to. Amen. You pray to him. Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead.
Even for all this remnant.
Even for all of this remnant.
For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us.
All right, now the next verse gets to the issue. All right.
That the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk.
Now, did you hear that? That the Lord thy God may show us wherein the way we may walk.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And that's like you coming to your pastor and saying, Pastor, I want you to pray and see if it's all right for me to backslide.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see, Egypt is the type of the world and of sin and of darkness and of bondage.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And the city is the type of the church. Amen. And he said, if you come in the north gate, don't you turn around and go back out the north gate.
Right.
But you go all the way through.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And go out the south gate.
Yes.
Don't turn around.
Yes.
And don't go back to Egypt.
Yes.
Praise God. I know what it was to be brought out of sin.
Yes.
Amen. I don't want to go back.
Right.
I want to go all the way through.
Yes. Yes.
I would to God that some of them that was here for these services was here this morning.
Yes.
some of them that I knew. Amen. When they shouted the victory, when they talked in tongues, when they're baptized in Jesus' name, amen, and forsaken it all and gone back to Egypt.
Right.
And God said, don't you go back to Egypt.
Right.
Don't you turn around.
Don't
you leave and go back. God forbid this morning for you to turn around.
Right.
Praise God. Praise God.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hula machila machila mahaya.
Oh.
Praise God. I feel the presence of the Lord this morning.
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes.
So you pray.
Huh.
And what did your master say?
They said, show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing we may do.
Yeah.
Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you.
I've heard you.
Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God.
I'm going to pray unto the Lord your God.
According to your words.
According to your words.
And it shall come to pass.
Now listen to this.
That whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you.
Now.
I will keep nothing.
Wait a minute. He said, whatsoever the Lord says, I want to declare it unto you. Praise God. In other words, I'm not going to hold back anything.
I will keep nothing back from you.
I will keep nothing back.
Oh, that's good.
Thank God for pastors that tell the truth.
Yes.
Thank God for pastors that are telling like it is.
God.
Thank God for pastors that are named sin. Thank God for pastors that will take their stand. Thank God for pastors that can't be bought. Money can't buy them. Praise God. Thank God for that kind of a pastor. I thank God I had the privilege to be brought up under that kind of a man. A man that preached me the truth. Oh, it hurt. Sure, at times. It hurt. But he never failed to tell me what I should do. Amen. Never failed. Amen. To declare the whole word of God to me. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to tell you everything. Yeah. Now listen to what they said in the next verse.
Then they said to Jeremiah.
Now they said to Jeremiah.
The Lord be a true and a faithful witness between us.
Now, the Lord's going to witness this between us.
If we do not even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us.
Yes. In other words, we're going to do everything that you say. Now, Pastor, you tell me what to do. You pray. You tell me what to do. And I will do that. Brother Keyes, have you had people tell you that?
Yeah, but they don't know.
These people didn't either.
No.
You, Pastor, had people tell you that?
Yeah.
Now, Pastor, do you tell me what to do?
Right.
And I'm going to do it.
Right.
I told my pastor. Now, Pastor, you tell me what to do, and I'm going to do it. I think I was 27 years old. It was in 1947. And I didn't know anything about Pentecost. In fact, I didn't know anything about God. I joined the church one time when I was a little boy. 13 years old, and I shook the preacher's hand. They baptized me. I don't even know what kind it was. I never went back to find out. But then I came 44 years ago, this past Sunday, the first time I ever entered into a Pentecostal church. Right over here on Tuolumne Boulevard.
Yes.
Praise God. I entered into the first Pentecostal service.
Uh-huh.
every day. I knew nothing about Pentecost or God. And I remembered the first service. I can tell you his text. Some of you would know the preacher. His text was in Philippians that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. That was the first text I ever heard preached. And I sat there on the back pew of that church that night. And we'd got there a little bit early. And I got right on the end of the pew so I could get out. I'd heard all kinds of things about Pentecost. I heard they'd sprinkle things on you like powder and pour oil on you, and that there were spirits that'd get a hold of you, and you'd roll in the floor and you'd turn Somerset and you'd stand on your head. And I'd heard all them things. And so I got right on the end of the pew, and right on the back seat, right at the back church, right at the back door of the old church. So I could get out of there on an Easter Sunday night. The church began to fill up, and they began to scoot me down. I kept scooting, and finally I got on the corner, right on the end. Amen. A whole group of people between me and the door. I thought, what in the world am I going to do to get out of here in case this thing goes haywire? Amen. And then that wasn't enough. They began to set chairs out in the aisle. I thought, I never can get out of here. And so I had to sit there and listen that night. But I tell you, my life never was the same after that. Praise God. I didn't go to the altar that night. I didn't give my heart to God that night. But the next day, I said some words I shouldn't have said. I never felt like that about it before. Never. The cigarette didn't taste like it should taste. Yeah, it just didn't work. And so, about 2 weeks later, coming home from work one day, I pulled over next to an old canal. Jim, you swarm a lot in that old canal. I pulled over next to that old canal. I reached down, I got the pack of Camels. And I pulled right over next to the canal.
My God.
I flipped them out in the canal, and I seen them go floating down the canal. 44 years ago,
hallelujah.
Never another cigarette parted my lips.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
I remember going to the altar that night. I didn't know how to pray. I'd never prayed a prayer in my life. Oh, one time I was on a ship and about to sink, and I didn't know how to pray. But I got up that morning and I said, I seen old sailors knelt around praying. And I knew what they were doing is praying. See, I'd always thought that only weak guys prayed. Guys that could stand up and fight and take care of themselves, they didn't pray. But hey, I realized this is different. These are men of war. Amen. These are hardened sailors. They'd fought the German submarine, the dive bombers. Amen. This wasn't a bunch of cowards. This was a bunch of men.
That's right.
And so that night, I crawled up on an old bunk and pulled a pillow over my head. And I said, God, see, I didn't know that you're supposed to repent of your sin. And I know God don't hear sinners' prayer, only of repentance. But I pulled that old pillow over my head, and I said, God, if you'll just get me on to Japan, and you get me back home, then I picked out a church right down here in town, and I said, I'll go join that church. You see, the chief of police went down there. The district attorney went down there. A lot of judges went down there. And that would be a pretty good one to join. So I'll join that church. So that was the only prayer I prayed. But all that night as I knelt at that old Pentecostal altar, Amen. Somebody begin to help me pray.
Yeah.
Repent.
Yeah.
Amen. Tell God you're sorry. And so I remember going to the pastor. I said, "Pastor, you got to tell me what to do. I don't know what to do. You'll have to tell me. You'll have to tell me about this. And Pastor, whatever you tell me, I'll do it." I didn't really know what I was saying. So Pastor said, "Okay. First thing, you got to repent. All right, I asked God to forgive me. Well, you got to repent." And you know, I thought he meant that I had to ask God for every one of them sins. I was going to the altar, and I was thinking something different every night. Repent. I just couldn't get it all together. And God helped me think of everything now tonight. The next night, something else. I think I've 3 months to repent. Maybe longer than that. See, I didn't know I could say, "God, forgive me my sin." It'd all be gone. But anyway, Pastor, you tell me what to do. Okay, now you got to be baptized in Jesus' name. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Well, the Bible said to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Yeah. But the correct way, and the only formula in the Bible where anybody was ever baptized, was in the name of Jesus. Well, okay, Pastor. I said, "You tell me what to do." And so, Brother Morton was meeting that old church. I can take you where it used to be up on the platform. They raised an old trap door. And there's an old concrete tank under that church over there. And I was baptized in the old tank. It was in April. But you see, there was no sun got to that tank. It was under the floor and in the ground. You talk about cold. It was cold. But oh, when I come up out of that water, I felt so clean. So I went back to the pastor. "What else, Pastor? What now? You got to have the Holy Ghost." "Okay. How you get it? You go down to the altar and you begin to praise the Lord. And the Holy Ghost will come." And so I went down to the altar. I started praising the Lord. "God, give me the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory." Midnight come, I still hollering glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Get them go home. And Sister Edith Johnson stood here this morning. It was after midnight when she got the Holy Ghost. She thought she had to pray till after midnight to get the Holy Ghost. We were taught that in them days. Amen. That more people got the Holy Ghost after midnight than they did any other time. And so we went to the altar, amen, expecting to stay till after midnight. Praise God. 23 months later, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. See, all of that time, I've been trying to get the Holy Ghost. And friend, you don't get the Holy Ghost. God gives you the Holy Ghost. But it taken me 23 months to go to the altar one night and say, "God, if I ever get the Holy Ghost, you got to give it to me. I can't get it." And God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right. I got it made now. Now, Pastor, anything else? Oh, yeah. There's some more. Well, tell me what it is. Well, you got to be faithful to church. Now, Brother Martin only just told you a little bit about services and about Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And week after week. But he just told you a little bit of that. This is what a Sunday service amounted to. If you drove a bus, you had to be there at 8 o'clock. If you taught a class, you had to be there. What time did we get there, Crystal? 9 o'clock, something like that, to get our rooms all together, and get everything ready. And then, Sunday school, 9:45. 11 o'clock, worship service. Amen. And then we all got back in the auditorium, I think about 12 o'clock, because we worshiped then, and Brother Rohde preached the message. And he had it down and he timed it. And he only preached 30 minutes. Because you see, we had to be 5 miles across town over there to the radio station at 1 o'clock. And so we was there till 1:30. Sometimes on the way back, we'd stop and get something to eat down at Webb's. And then prayer meeting at 3 o'clock. Then, after prayer meeting, well, then I think the next thing was children's church. And we had to get ready to take the buses to go out and pick the kids up for children's church. This is Sunday schedule. Amen. We'd get them in. I think youth service was going on and children's church was going on. And then about 7:30, we started the regular service. You remember that, Brother Todd? And then, as they said, Brother Rohde, never give the floor to the preacher at least 9:15. Everybody in the church had to testify. And then the preacher would get up and preach. And every one of them had to preach an hour or better. We'd get in the altar about 11 o'clock. And, of course, we knew we'd want to stay till after midnight. Jim, no wonder I miss so many Sunday nights, Monday morning work. No wonder I miss so many Monday mornings of going to work. Amen. That was day, week after week after week. And as Brother Morton told you, when it was in a revival, it was every night. Had to be faithful. There wasn't no Sunday night church with Brother Rohde. You were there every night. If you wasn't there, when your telephone rang that night after church, did yours ever ring after church at night? Yours too, Sister Bonnie. Your telephone ring. And if it didn't ring, the next day he's knocking on your door. Why wasn't you at church last night? Well, really, Brother Rohde, I didn't feel too good. Well, if you'd have came to church, we'd have known that you'd prayed for you and it'd been well.
Amen.
Next time you come to church, all right, Pastor, whatever you say, I'm going to do. All right. What do I need to do now? Well, there's no short hair on women. No long hair on men. You got to keep your hair out of your eyes, you men. You got to keep it off of your collar and off of your ear. Amen. Brother Morton didn't tell all of it. The women had to have a certain length of dress. It had to be just so-so under the knee. If it was too long, you're going whirly. And if it's too short, you're going whirly. Amen. So it had to be just a certain length. Amen. These are things my pastor told me. And you men got to wear long sleeves.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I should have got up and stopped Brother Morton last night. But he came to church, and Brother Morton had on, they used to be, and I don't know whether they still are.
We left that out.
Yeah. They used to have a great big old Flaherty shirt, Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
And they cut big, you know.
Yeah.
And you wore them on the outside of your trousers. And they'd hang down almost to your knee, you know, way down here. Von Morton came to church wearing one of those shirts. Woo! You would have had to know that German. He's seen him before church. Brother Morton, get that thing in your trousers. And don't you ever come back to the church with your shirt out. We don't wear maternity blouses, we men, around here. Woo, this is the thing my pastor taught me.
Yeah.
Brother Morton told me, in fact, just the other day, we were talking about it, maybe with you. He said, I can't even go around the house with my shirt hanging out. He don't know it, but I can't either. You've never seen me running around with my shirt hanging out of my trousers. Amen. Well, that may not seem like much to some of you, but it was a whole lot to us then, wasn't it, Brother Todd? Praise God. Praise God. All right, Pastor, you tell me what to do. Well, okay. No more cigarettes. Huh? No more smoking. Okay. 3 years after I quit smoking, one morning I got up. I got down on my hands and knees, and I looked under the bed because I had such a taste in my mouth that I thought I'd smoked a cigarette somewhere during the night and maybe the pack was under the bed. And I was hunting the thing. I'd want to get rid of them. I thought, surely there's a pack of cigarettes somewhere around here. My wife said, what are you doing? I'm hunting them cigarettes. What cigarettes? Well, I got such a taste in my mouth. Surely I smoked a cigarette last night. But I couldn't find no cigarettes. No more cigarettes. All right, no more cigarettes. No more alcohol. Ooh. You want to take that cold beer with me? I'll never forget. I forgot the name of that store, Jim. It used to be right up on the street, right up on the corner of Rio Grande and Crow's Landing. You know, there was a little old store up there. I walked up there in the heat one day. And I was going to get something. I don't know what it was. I picked up what I was going to get, and it's just a little old family store, you know. I taken it up to the cash register, and there was a guy right ahead of me. And he said, I don't know what kind of beer it was, but it was in a big bottle, and it had frost all over it. And he set about three of them up on the counter right ahead of me. Oh, it was hot. And I looked at that beer. Man, that'd be good. I stood there for a minute. I looked around. I set what I had down. And I slipped around him and I ran out the door. My pastor said, no more beer. No more alcohol. We wasn't bothered with drugs then, or it'd been drugs. It would have been drugs also. No more drugs. No more immorality. No more messing around. It's all over with now.
Yeah.
I want to do what you said do, Pastor.
Yeah. Right.
Ooh, I feel the Spirit of the Lord in here. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God.
Good.
Is it time to stop?
No.
I don't know the time this morning. Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God. But I want to do what you tell me to do. I don't know how many people I've had tell me that. Some of you told me that. Told me that you would do whatever I said do. I don't see an individual here this morning. But one individual told me that one time. Brother Dansby, I want to go to heaven. I'm going to do anything you tell me to do. I want to go. But you see, he didn't say so. As long as you don't touch my kids. Because my little kids can't do no wrong. My little kids can't tell no lies. Oh, I know it's quirky area here. And so he marched into my office one day. And he threw his bus keys down. Threw down everything, his membership card. Threw it all down. Said, I'm through. I'm leaving this church. I'm never coming back. And what's the matter? I almost called his name. God help me. What's the matter? Well, you preach this. You preach that. And I just don't see all this stuff. Plus, you won't leave my kids alone. And so said something about me. And so I'm through, I'm leaving. I said, brother, do you remember the day that you came to me? And you told me that whatever I said you to do, you would want to do it. That you wanted to go to heaven. That you were trusting me. That your soul laid in my hand. Do you remember that, brother? Yeah. I said, well, I'm telling you something else to do. What's that? I said, you go out that door right there. You turn to your left. You go through another door. You turn to your right. You go about 10 or 15 steps down there, and there's an altar. And I want you to go in out of that altar. And I want you to pray through. I said, I'm telling you what to do.
Yeah.
I said, you told me yourself.
Yeah.
Well, he got up. He went down to the altar. About 30 minutes, an hour later, he come back in. Said, Brother Dansby, would you give me my keys and my fellowship card back? Yeah. Friend, you'd better mean it when you tell a man of God that you're going to do what he said to you. You'd better mean it. You see, God said, go all the way through the city.
Yes.
Don't you turn around.
Right.
Amen. And then they said, I want to do whatever you say to the preacher. Amen. I'm going to do it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know something else he told me? There'd be no gossip. No more gossip. There'll be no gossip.
Yeah.
Amen. And if you want to be caught on the carpet, and you want a J.E. Rohde to get to you, with that finger going in your face, you start gossiping. And it would be there.
Amen.
Praise God. I thank God for a pastor. Amen. That declared the whole word of God to me.
Yes.
He couldn't be bought. He wouldn't compromise.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. It was just like God said.
God.
And I thank God we got pastors today.
Uh-huh.
Amen. That still declaring the word of God.
Yes.
Just like it said.
Yes.
They haven't compromised it.
Yes.
I looked at some people the other day. I thought, man, how can you do it? knowing this truth like you've known it. Preach like I've heard you preach. A couple of years ago, my wife and I sat down to have breakfast in Louisville, Kentucky. Another minister and his wife came, sat at a table. It wasn't long till another minister came in, and he sat down at our table. And it was the morning after the last night of the service. Were you there? Brother Johnny King had preached. You remember that message? Struck a lot of fire. But thank God for preachers that preach the truth. And so the minister came in last and sat down. I knew him all of his life. I knew him. And don't let anybody try to figure out who it was. You can't. But I knew him when he used to run around in South Modesto in short pants. I could tell Jim something. Jim got in a fight with him one night and run him under a car. I knew him all these years. I'd heard him preach. Just like we preach. Same thing we preach. And so he said, good conference. Too bad it had to end like it did. I couldn't believe it. Hey, this wasn't somebody else. This is one of our men. Pastor of one of our churches. And I sat there and I looked at him. And finally, he couldn't stand it no longer. He looked at me and I said, you know what? I called him by his name. I said, I've known you all your life. And I said, I've heard you preach everything Johnny King preached last night.
That's right.
I said, I've heard you preach everything. Yeah. But that before I knew better. You see, he went by the wayside. Paul said that I keep myself under subjection unless after I preach to others I become a castaway. Oh, that scripture gets me, Brother Booker. I don't want to become a castaway. But I'm glad God still got preachers that will declare the whole word of God. I pulled into a parking lot a few years ago. I was evangelizing and I pulled into a parking lot with my motorhome, standing outside of a new church was a young pastor and his wife. And when I pulled up close and when they came to the motorhome, there was tears in their eyes and they're crying. I said, what's the matter? So they began to tell me. There's some problems in the church. They had been dealing with the problems. Well, really, what it was. Let me get this so you'll understand. There were some millionaires in the church that had a lot of money. They supported a lot. They give a lot of money. And they real this brother had prayed him through the Holy Ghost, baptized him. And now then, one of them was committing adultery. And he was on his case. And so that was one of the problems that he's dealing with. And this fellow had roots all through the church. And so he was dealing with this problem. Another woman in adultery, he was dealing with her. Well, it was him and her. And so finally, it came to one night, and I believe it was 35 of them, got up and walked out the door. In fact, he disfellowshipped them. I think 17 of them, and they got up and walked out the door. I believe he said he's seen about $4,000 a month go out the door with a new church payment to make. That was hard. But I'll never forget what he told me. He said, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to be bought. I'm not going to be bought. I'm not going to cup of mine. I said, brother, stand for God. I'll never forget the next night, Brother Price preached at that church. I spoke to him that night. The next night, Brother Price preached. And Brother Price said, brother, God purged this church. Brother Price was correct. God had purged that church. There was a revival started in that church. That church seats up over 450. Last Sunday night, they had to set chairs out. Amen. Every Sunday night you go there, it's full. You see why? Because they refused to compromise.
Oh, yes.
He refused to be bought. I want to tell you the truth. Thank God for men that will do that today.
Yes.
Brother Keyes, my heart felt good the other night when you or someone said to all you people that come back, I want you to know the things ain't changed around here. Thank God for that.
Yes.
Time may change. People may change. But the Word of God don't change.
Yes.
It don't change, friend. I want to tell you something else. If it was wrong 20 years ago, whenever it was, that we passed that resolution that you couldn't have a TV, it's still wrong today.
Yes.
Wrong. My Lord, I might well go ahead. You'd be disappointed if I didn't, wouldn't you? I'm trying to, brother. Better get a hold of your seat.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I don't have that too much to worry about in this church.
Oh, that's right.
But I don't want you turning around and going back out the gate that you came in on. I want you going through the city. All right, here it comes. If you got a video, and you're going down and renting every ungodly film you can get a hold of and looking at it, it's wrong. You shouldn't be doing it. My Lord, I know I'm taking too much time. What time is it? Said, I'm going to do whatever you say do, Pastor.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to do it. I think we'd better go on. Where'd we quit?
whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God.
Did you hear what they said? We're going to obey the voice of the Lord.
Whatever it is.
Now, I think it's down about the 10th verse. Are you down there for yet? Where he told them what he found out.
And said unto them.
Now that Jeremiah had prayed, and Jeremiah came, and he said unto them.
Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom you sent me to present your supplication.
Now this is what you
him.
Wanted to hear. Now I'm fixing to tell you now what God said.
Now, if you will still people, abide in this land.
If you will still abide in this land. Yeah. Don't go back to Egypt. But still abide
oh, that's good, Elder.
In this land.
Oh, yeah.
That's so good.
Read.
Then will I build you.
Ooh, you hear that? Then will I build you. Man, I feel chilled running up down my
yeah.
backbone.
That's right.
Yes.
Then will I build
yes.
you.
Yes. If you don't go.
I will not tear you down.
And not pull you down.
I will not pull you down.
And I will plant you.
What?
I will plant you.
I will bless you.
And not pluck you.
Wait a minute. This is for people that stayed in the city. This is not for people that turned around and went back out the gate that came in on. But this is for people that stayed in the city. Amen. I'll lift you up. Amen. I won't pull you down. I bless you. Woo! Read.
I will plant you and not pluck you up.
Woo! I will plant you and not pluck you up. Woo! Friend, you're in safe hands as long as you're in the city. Don't leave the city. Now, if you will notice in my text, it said you go all the way through the city. You want to come in to this church age. Coming to an end. You're not to go back out to Egypt, but you're to go all the way through the city. Go all the way through. What's happening? What's going to happen when we'll go out the other gate? Turn to 1 Thessalonians, 4th chapter. 4th chapter. 16th verse. I believe it is. Is that what it is?
4:16?
Yeah, read it loud.
For the Lord himself.
Now listen, this is for people that went all the way through the city.
Yeah.
They didn't turn around. Devil, you didn't pull them out.
Right.
They didn't get mad at the preacher and leave.
Right.
But they obeyed the preacher.
Yes.
These people.
Yes.
Said, we won't do it. When they was told this, what God said, if you stay here. Don't you go back.
Amen.
These people said, we won't do it. And in fact, they told Jeremiah, God didn't tell you all that stuff.
Yes.
How many times you had people tell you?
Yeah.
But God didn't do that. That was you. I'm getting off.
No, that's right on.
That's right on.
But these people that we're talking about now, they went through the city. They're going out the other gate. All right, read.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven.
With a shout.
With a shout.
With the voice of the archangel.
With the voice of the archangel.
And the trump of God.
And the trump of God.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first.
The dead in Christ shall rise first.
And we, which are alive, shall be caught up together with them in the air.
Oh, everybody stand. What a gathering that's going to be when we go through the city and we'll go out the other gate. Oh, what a gathering. Say it.
What a gathering, oh gathering, at the sound of the glorious jubilee. What a gathering, oh gathering, what a gathering of the faithful that will be.
Ah, what a gathering!
The sounding of the trumpet, when the saints are gathered home, we will greet each other by the gristle sea. With the friends and all the
lovers in the bin, a gathering
us to come. What a gathering of the faithful that will be. What a gathering.